The Super Bowl, sports, and the worldview that drives it. That is the topic we'll discuss today right here on the Christian Worldview radio program, where the mission is to sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news, the gospel, that all people can be reconciled to God through faith in Jesus Christ. I'm David Wheaton, the host, and our website is thechristianworldview.org. Well, thank you for joining us as what is known now as Super Bowl weekend here, and over 100 million people will watch the Super Bowl football game on Sunday. Americans will wager an estimated $6.8 billion on the game. The cost of a 30-second ad or commercial is over $5 million for a 30-second ad. The average price for a ticket to the game is almost $6,400. And Kansas City quarterback Patrick Mahomes, who's playing in the game, could receive the NFL's first $200 million contract after the season. So it would be easy to conclude that sports generates big numbers all around. And this says something about our society, that sports garners this much attention and this much money, and where athletes are granted VIP status. They're the celebrities of our society. So this weekend on the Christian Worldview, we're going to discuss the worldview behind some current events around the Super Bowl and sports, including these four stories. Green Bay Packers future Hall of Fame quarterback Aaron Rodgers discussing why he doesn't believe in the God of the Bible. It's a very interesting conversation he had with his girlfriend, former race car driver Danica Patrick. That's coming up in this first segment. We're also going to talk about the tragic death of NBA superstar Kobe Bryant in a helicopter crash recently, what we can take away from that. We're also going to talk about the Super Bowl, who rejected a pro-life ad, but will be doing a drag queen ad. Why would they reject the pro-life ad in favor of a drag queen ad? And we're going to have audio of both of those. Also, down in Australia, the Australian Open is taking place right now. This is finals weekend as well at the Australian Open. And two tennis greats, Martina Navratilova and John McEnroe, did an on-court protest holding up a sign demanding that one of the stadium arenas at the Australian Open be renamed over what they call homophobic, unquote, comments by past tennis champion Margaret Court. We'll get into that as well today. So lots of issues regarding sports with the worldview behind them. We'll look at them today here on the Christian Worldview, because whether it's sports or politics or business or culture or just life in general, worldview is always the driving force behind what is taking place. Let's get first to this interview with Aaron Rodgers, who is a Super Bowl winning quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, one of the elite quarterbacks in the NFL, very popular, top two or three quarterbacks always considered in the NFL. And he's dating, or his girlfriend is Danica Patrick. As I mentioned, she was a former, I think it was an IndyCar driver, or she was a professional race car driver, raced against the men, by the way, and actually did quite well in her career. Now she has a podcast where she interviewed her boyfriend, Aaron Rodgers, quarterback Aaron Rodgers, on this podcast. And Aaron Rodgers talked about his background with regard to faith and religion and so forth. There's some very interesting things to discuss from this particular podcast. So here's the audio. We're going to go through it and just stop it at various points along the way to comment. Here's Danica Patrick interviewing quarterback Aaron Rodgers.
I'm Danica Patrick, and I'm pretty intense.
Most people that I knew, church was just, you just had to go. Your parents made you go, you wake up, you put some clothes on, you go, and you can't wait to get back and watch the second game of the day in the NFL on TV.
Now, isn't that sort of a sad state of affairs? And it's just an encouragement, an exhortation to parents out there to try to raise your children not to view church like that. Just, you have to go and it's boring and you're just going so you can get back to watch the second NFL game of the day. It's not that church should change and try to be more exciting and have people parachuting out of the upper decks and so forth and making it entertainment driven, because that's what they try to do. But when the gospel and the Bible is preached strongly and relevantly, even children will get excited and can understand that. Let's move on.
But I started going to Young Life, and that's where I met Matt Hawk, who you know, Matt's, and Matt was leading our Young Life group there for a while. And he was the first Christian that I met where I was like, man, like, this dude, like, swears every now and then. He loves sports. He, like, coaches sports. He's, like, you know, he's an awesome dude. Like, he's just a really rad guy to be around. I kind of like, you know, the way that he talks about Jesus and the way that he talks about what it means to have a relationship with Christ. Like, that's pretty cool. So I enjoyed my time with Young Life. We did some amazing outreach stuff. You know, we went to Mexico during two spring breaks and built houses, and that was meaningful. You know, that was like...
Okay, so here Aaron Rodgers is talking about his first introduction to parachurch ministry, which is Young Life. And Young Life is a Christian organization, but I would consider it very lightly Christian. Like Aaron Rodgers just mentioned, it was just about having a lot of fun. Didn't mention anything about being taught the Bible or the gospel. It was about fun and travel and good works, going to Mexico and building houses and so forth. Nothing about the gospel. And it's interesting that this influence in Aaron Rodgers' life when he was a teenager, and by the way, very, very formative, impressionable time as a teenager, he met a man named Matt Hawk. I don't know who Matt Hawk is, but apparently he was involved with Young Life, and Aaron Rodgers thought he was pretty cool because he swears and loves sports and coaches sports, but he liked the way he talked about Jesus. So already a formation of his, what it means to be a Christian is being imprinted on him from his consideration that church is boring, Young Life was fun, and a guy who swears but likes the way he talks about Jesus. So now we're set up for Aaron Rodgers to go off to college.
It gets into more organized, you know, athletes in action or whatever it might be, campus organizations. And I just didn't find any connection points with those things and started questioning things and had friends who had other beliefs and enjoyed learning. That's kind of a part of my life. Had some good friendships along the way that helped me, you know, to figure out what exactly I wanted to believe in. Yeah.
Okay, so here's another formation. Now the friends get into it. There's no Young Life in college, he said. He didn't find any connection points in any on-campus organizations like Athletes in Action, which is a division of Campus Crusade or CREW. He started questioning things like so many do when they go off to college, like they should do. Really, you should be questioning where I came from, why am I here, and where do I go after I die? Those are the important things to question in life. But there's no one speaking biblical truth into his life. And all of a sudden, the introduction of friends, as he said, who had other beliefs. He had good friendships, he said, who helped him try to figure out what I wanted to believe in. We don't want to believe in things that we want to believe in. We want to believe in things that are the truth. It's not what we want. It's what the truth is. We want to believe in that. And so here's the influence of his peers. We're all the product of our influences in this formative time in his life. You can see what direction he's being pulled. Satan is always at work trying to hinder and destroy someone from coming to saving faith. And this is what's taking place in Aaron Rodgers' life. Let's go next to the rest of the interview.
And ultimately, it was that rules and regulations and binary systems don't really resonate with me. You know, enjoyed learning about other religions and meeting the Dalai Lama. And, you know, it's been a fun path to a different type of spirituality, which to me is more, it's been more meaningful.
So here's the tragic choice. Ultimately, as he was influenced by his friends and in the background and found out about other religions, he said, ultimately, rules and regulations and binary systems don't resonate with me. It's a shame that he views Christianity as rules and regulations, because that's not what it is. God does have his standards, his will for how he wants us to approach him and live our lives and who he is, absolutely, but keeping those rules and regulations does not make us right with him at all. The Bible says it's not by works of righteousness that we have done that saves us, but by his mercy and grace. It's a relationship, not a religion, so to speak, in a binary system. We're going to get into that in a second. He uses that term over and over again, but meeting the Dalai Lama, he said, was exciting. I can't remember the word he put with it. It was a path to a different kind of spirituality. And of course, in those kinds of spiritualities, there's no accountability. The Dalai Lama and most other religious systems don't put any sort of accountability, especially moral accountability. There are no rules and regulations. You just get to live the way you want to live. And then you can make up your own rules and regulations. Let's continue.
Would you separate the two, being spirituality and religion? Like, you were religious and now you're spiritual?
I think both can work for people. I do. I think some people just need structure and they need tradition and stuff, and that works for them. And I don't have a problem with it. It doesn't resonate with me.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's the very common worldview of our age, that I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual. And whatever works for you, it's a completely man-centered, pragmatic, whatever works for your happiness. Of course, this is the exact inverse, the exact wrong way of looking at it. We shouldn't be thinking about what works for us. What is God's will? Who is God and what is his will? What is my purpose here to serve him? He's looking at it exactly backward. But this is very, very common and very typical of someone who doesn't understand who God is, who has never believed in the gospel, doesn't understand his place and purpose in light of who God is and what God's plan is for Aaron Rodgers' life. God designed Aaron Rodgers to be in relationship with him. Okay? God revealed himself to Aaron Rodgers through creation, through his conscience, through even some of the church background, even though he didn't like it, there were some things, some touch points in there that God was revealing himself to Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers had a choice to make, whether he was going to take that revelation and seek it further and find out who this God is and how it can be right with him or not. And unfortunately, at least up till now in his life, he's chosen to go away from God. Let's go next to the next part of the soundbite.
How far back can you go and identify, like, yeah, I thought it was weird when I was 4, like, or whatever? Is there an example? Can you identify when the skeptic and the questioner in you was really present?
I mean, high school for sure, because I had two groups I was going to. I was going to church on Sundays and then to Young Life on Mondays. And Young Life on Monday welcomed everyone. You know, it's like,
right,
come as you are. Be there at 7:29.
Yep.
And like, be ready for some fun. And it was fun, and we had a great time. Church on Sundays was like more, you know, make sure you dress a certain way and don't bring that person, and this person's going to get looked at strangely if they show up. And I think, you know, again, it's very black and white, binary sense, but I don't think it's very welcoming. Religion can be a crutch, can be something that people have to have to make themselves feel better. And because it's set up binary, it's us and them. It's saved and unsaved. It's heaven and hell. It's enlightened and heathen. It's holy and righteous and sinner and filthy.
Okay, we're going to discuss and respond to all the assertions he just made, all the truth claims he made about Christianity in that particular soundbite. Coming back, we'll talk more about the Super Bowl, sports, and the worldview that drives it. You're listening to The Christian Worldview. I'm David Wheaton.
That critical race theory and intersectionality are simply analytical tools. They're meant to be used as tools, not as a worldview.
It's not true. It's
not a transcendent worldview above the authority of Scripture. And we stand by the strength of this resolution.
Is the Southern Baptist Convention diverging from biblical orthodoxy over issues of women teaching men, homosexuality, and critical race theory? Is this a bellwether of what's coming to your church? By What Standard is a 110-minute DVD documentary about the battle taking place in the SBC. You can receive the DVD for a donation of any amount to The Christian Worldview. To order, go to thechristianworldview.org or call 1-888-646-2233 or write to Box 401, Excelsior, Minnesota 55331.
Be sure to take advantage of two free resources that will keep you informed and sharpen your worldview. The first is the Christian Worldview Weekly email, which comes to your inbox each Friday. It contains a preview of the upcoming radio program, along with need-to-read articles, featured resources, special events, and audio of the previous program. The second is the Christian Worldview Annual Print Letter, which is delivered to your mailbox in November. It contains a year-end letter from host David Wheaton and a listing of our store items, including DVDs, books, children's materials, and more. You can sign up for the weekly email and annual print letter by visiting thechristianworldview.org or calling 1-888-646-2233. Your email and mailing address will never be shared, and you can unsubscribe at any time. Call 1-888-646-2233. Or visit thechristianworldview.org.
This is the Christian Worldview radio program. I'm David Wheaton. Our topic today is Super Bowl sports and the worldview that drives it. Talking about some stories going on in the sports world and analyzing the worldview behind them. Just a quick reminder that you may want to get, after a three-part series we just did in the Southern Baptist Convention, you may want to get that, I actually really encourage you to get that DVD, By What Standard. It's going to be released this month in February. You can pre-order it for a donation of any amount by going to our website, thechristianworldview.org. More about the Southern Baptist Convention actually coming up today on the program. But let's get back to that soundbite. If you just joined us, we were playing an interview that quarterback from the Green Bay Packers, Aaron Rodgers, one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, recently did with his girlfriend, Danica Patrick, who is a former professional race car driver. And they're talking about religion and his formation of his, quote, spiritual beliefs. So let's listen to the last minute of the interview and then see whether what he's saying lines up with what the truth of who God actually is.
Religion can be a crutch, can be a... Can be something that people have to have to make themselves feel better. And because it's set up binary, it's us and them. It's saved and unsaved. It's heaven and hell. It's enlightened and heathen. It's holy and righteous and sinner and filthy. And that makes, I think that makes a lot of people feel better about themselves. Is it, oh, you know, I have... You know, I got Jesus, and, you know, I'm saved, and I'm going to heaven, and there's only 144,000 of us going, even though there's 7 billion people on the planet. And, you know, I don't know how you can believe in a God who wants to condemn most of the planet, you know, to a fiery hell. Like, what type of loving, sensitive, omnipresent, omnipotent being wants to condemn most of his beautiful creation to a fiery hell at the end of all this?
So many false assertions, so much blasphemy about who God is, but so little time to discuss it. I mean, there's just so many things he said. Religion is a crutch to make feel better. Well, is his spirituality a crutch to make him feel better as a person? All these things can be just inverted right back on them. And us versus them, obviously, of the save versus unsaved mentality, he has a completely negative view of who Christians are. It is us, like him, like people like us who are enlightened versus them, those Christians who think they're holier than thou. But the last part is, I think, is the interesting part where he talks about how can you believe in a God who wants to condemn most of the world to hell? He thinks there's 144,000 only going to heaven. Of course, that's a complete misinterpretation of Revelation. That has to do with Jewish people who are saved in the end times. That's not believers over all of eternity. It's going to be a lot more than 144,000. So anyway, he says, how can you believe in a God who wants to condemn most people to hell? And this is one of the hard truths of Scripture. But the Bible is clear. God does not want to condemn people to hell. It says clearly in 1 Timothy chapter 2, God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Here's that binary system that he rebels against, that he hates, that there's one way to God, and it's through Jesus Christ. But the good news is there actually is one way. God didn't have to make any way. He would have been completely just to give us what we all deserve and sentencing us all to hell for rebelling against him. But God is gracious. He is good. He is compassionate. He is patient. And that he's offered a way. And the way he offered actually was through sending his own son to pay the penalty and take the death penalty for the sin, for the death penalty that we deserve to pay, and take our sin on him, and in turn give us his righteousness for those who would repent and believe. That's the gospel. That's a good God who is willing to save and send his own son to pay for sins that he didn't commit. That's a good God. And God desires all men to be saved. Now, people often ask this question about this passage. How can God desire something and then actually not have it fall through? Is he too weak to be able to have people saved? And he desires all men to be saved, so why doesn't he save them? Well, there's an interesting footnote in this study Bible, the MacArthur Study Bible, on this particular passage. And it explains that there's a difference between what God desires and what he decrees. Something he desires, he does desire all men to be saved, but that's not his decreed will, where if he decrees something, it will come to pass. The note says the Greek word for desires is not that which normally expresses God's will of decree, his eternal purpose, but God's will of desire. There is a distinction between God's desire and his eternal saving purpose, which must transcend his desires. In other words, his decrees happen, his desires are over, his desires are underneath, subordinate to what he decrees. God does not want us to sin. He hates sin with all his being. He hates sin's consequences, eternal wickedness in hell. He hates that. God does not want people to remain wicked forever in eternal remorse and hatred of him in hell. Yet God, for his own glory and to manifest that glory, even in wrath, chose to endure, from quoting from Scripture, vessels prepared for destruction, for the supreme fulfillment of his will. In his eternal purpose, God chose only the elect out of the world. John 17:6, Christ's prayer, where he says that. And passed over the rest, leaving them to the consequences of their sin, unbelief, and rejection of Christ. Ultimately, God's choices are determined by his sovereign, eternal purpose, not his desires. So that's the whole tension of, wait now. You mean that God chooses people to go to hell? No, he doesn't choose people to go to hell. Everyone is going to hell, and God, because of his goodness, has decided that some he will pull off that and enlighten them to understand and believe in the gospel. Then you're going to say, well, what's the responsibility of man? Well, Paul anticipates that in Romans 9. He says, who are you, O man, to question God's will? It's beyond and beyond, it's above and beyond our thoughts and our ways to understand how that tension can be resolved in God's selection, election, his foreloving of those he would save that were deserving and destined to go to hell, why he chose some and not others, at the same time, man's call over and over again in Scripture to repent and believe in the gospel. John 3:16, all who believe, everyone who receives him, there's this tension there. And I'm not going to be able to resolve that, because no human being can resolve this tension between God's election and man's responsibility to repent and believe. But there'd be no one in hell that says to God, you created me purposely and just sent me to hell. I never had a chance. No, there's human responsibility. We have meaningful human responsibility in all of this. And that's what I would recommend to Aaron Rodgers or anyone listening today who thinks like him, that God is this judgmental, he just wants to send people to hell. No, that's wrong. That's not what Scripture teaches. Romans 2:4 says, do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and his tolerance and God's patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? After we sinned once against God, it would be like it's rebelling against the king of the universe. He'd be completely just to kill us at that moment and send us to hell. But it goes on in verse 5, because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up for yourselves wrath in the day of wrath and revelation at the righteous judgment of God, who will render each person according to his deeds. To those who by perseverance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life, those are those who come to saving faith and the good works of their life or give evidence of that belief. But to those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey righteousness, wrath, and indignation. It is binary. Aaron Rodgers is right about that. What Jesus said in John 3:33, whether it was Jesus or the Apostle John, He who believes in the Son has life. He who does not believe in the Son does not have life, but the wrath of God abides on him. It is binary. Admittedly so. But God is gracious to give us one way that we can be forgiven and made right and live in eternity with him. Let's get on to the next topic today from the sports world. Is from the Super Bowl. And speaking, staying in the football realm after Aaron Rodgers, that the according to the Reformation Charlotte website, it says what we see happening in the NFL on Super Bowl this year is unprecedented in all professional sports history, to his knowledge, he writes. This year, lining up the commercial breaks between the year's most watched television sports game will be drag queens and LGBTQ propaganda. Now, the ad that was rejected, that ad was favored. It was for like a hummus company. I can't remember the name of it, but it was for like a hummus product. They're using two drag queens to promote their product, a hummus. And so, but on the other hand, an ad by Faces of Choice, a woman named Lyric Gillette had produced an ad, wanted to buy an ad on the Super Bowl. They rejected her ad. And so I'm going to play both ads here. I'm going to play, first of all, the pro-life ad, 30 seconds ad. Now you tell me how offensive this is.
Will you look me in the eye?
Can you look me in the eye and tell me that I shouldn't be alive?
Can you tell me that I didn't deserve to survive?
One reality binds us together.
One event we all share.
One choice tried to steal our lives.
But we survived.
We are the survivors of choice.
We are the faces of choice.
I am the face of choice.
I am that choice.
Very touching, strong, powerful ad of people whose parents, I believe they either tried to have abortions and it didn't work, or their parents chose not to have abortions. I can't remember which one it was, but they're saying we're the product of choice, that my parents chose to have us. Powerful ad. Is that really that controversial? I mean, many, many people in this country, you know, maybe even up to half or more in this country would totally agree and be impacted by that ad. Not offensive in any way, unless you hate the pro-life cause. But this ad, the transgender ad, this is the 15-second version of it. Actually, we're going to play it after the break. We're coming up against the break. Was welcome. And it's getting all the buzz leading into the Super Bowl. We'll come back for this and talk more about the Super Bowl, sports, and the worldview that drives it. You're listening to The Christian Worldview. I'm David Wheaton. David Wheaton here to tell you about my boy Ben, a story of love, loss, and grace. Ben was a yellow lab and inseparable companion at a stage in my life when I was single and competing on the professional tennis tour. I invite you to enter into the story and its tapestry of relationships with Ben, my aging parents, with a childhood friend I would finally marry, and ultimately with God, who caused all things, even the hard things, to work together for good. Order the book for your friend who needs to hear about God's grace and the gospel, or the one who has gone through a difficult trial or loss, or just the dog lover in your life. Signed and personalized copies are only available at myboyben.com or by calling 1-888-646-2233. That's 1-888-646-2233 or myboyben.com.
The mission of the Christian Worldview is to sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news that all people can be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. For when Christians have a stronger faith and when unbelievers come to saving faith, lives and families and churches, even communities, are changed for the glory of God. The Christian Worldview is a listener-supported ministry. You can help us in our mission to impact hearts and minds by making a donation of any amount or becoming a monthly partner. All donations are tax deductible. You can give online at thechristianworldview.org or by calling us toll-free 1-888-646-2233. When you give, we'd like to thank you by sending you a current resource. Monthly partners can choose to receive resources throughout the year. Call 1-888-646-2233 or go to thechristianworldview.org. Thank you for your support.
think biblically and live accordingly. That's what we try to do every week with every topic we address here on the Christian Worldview radio program. Thank you for all your support as we start off here in 2020. We had really were touched and impacted by so many of your notes and letters and donations and so forth. So thank you so much for being an instrument of God's grace in the continuation of this radio program. We really appreciate that. Today we're talking about the Super Bowl sports and the worldview that drives it. And before the break, we were discussing that the Super Bowl or Fox turned down an ad by an organization called Faces of Choice. And the founder of that organization, her name is Lyric Gillette, accused Fox, which is broadcasting the game, of stringing her along. This is from a quote. After she began negotiating in July to air a powerful black and white ad featuring adults and children of different genders and ethnicities with one thing in common. They survived abortions. There you go. There's the answer to that. These are actually abortion survivors you heard in that ad before the break. Now they're adults and so forth. In an era where, she says, where we're trying to give survivors a voice, whether that is through the Me Too movement or any number of issues, for some reason, we deem survivors of abortion worthy of being ignored into oblivion. Very good point by Ms. Gillette, actually. We're always talking about the victims and survivors of sexual harassment, and they should be brought to light. But how about the victims of who have had botched abortions where they've actually thankfully lived through them? And she says that to me is both ironic but also just appalling. So you heard the pro-life ad of those various people from different walks of life talking about how that they survived, quote unquote, choice. Well, here's the ad at the Super Bowl this year for the hummus company. They've only released 15 seconds of it, but this one was accepted. Now you have to just picture in your mind, I'm not going to be able to, of course, see the video of this on radio, but there's two men sitting side by side, dressed up very dramatically as women. And one of them is trying to put a football helmet over his huge hair that he has on his head. Of course, they're acting like women, dressing like women. The sin of homosexuality, transgenderism, right in front of us being promoted and actually being affirmed and actually celebrated in some way tomorrow on the Super Bowl.
Ready, Cracker? Chickpeas. I was born ready. I hope this doesn't give me helmet hair.
There you go. Make people laugh. That's what you got to do. Lowers their sensitivity to what is perverse, men dressing as women, so forth. And that's what's promoted today in our culture. It's no accident why this is becoming affirmed. And, you know, the binary system, as Aaron Rodgers calls it, of abortion, is pushed off the side. They wanted to buy an ad. They weren't even able to buy it. That's how much there's a rejection. By the way, this is Fox, the same company that owns Fox News Channel. You know what, the conservative bastion right on television, same network owned by the same people rejected this particular ad. Remember, Fox News Channel is not the Christian church. Okay. I'm thankful for what they bring out, a conservative perspective in their news channel, but this is not pervasive all throughout their whole network of stations. Now, meanwhile, speaking of abortion, Roe versus Wade, the court case that legalized it, was decided back on January 22nd. Just anniversary of it was just a couple weeks ago in 1973. And of course, there was the March for Life, as there always is in Washington, D.C. The March for Life mission is to end abortion, not just to lower it, to end it, which is a good thing. This is the American Holocaust. Get into that in a minute, by uniting, educating, and mobilizing pro-life people in the public square, advocates for overturning Roe versus Wade. Now, interestingly enough, for all the people out there who are pro-life, completely against abortion, but can't stand Donald Trump, Donald Trump was just the first president ever to attend and speak at the March for Life. George Bush, 1 and 2, never spoke at it. Even Ronald Reagan never spoke on it. And here's what our president had to say when he spoke at the March for Life.
All of us here today understand an eternal truth. Every child is a precious and sacred gift from God. Together, we must protect, cherish, and defend the dignity and the sanctity of every human life. When we see the image of a baby in the womb, we glimpse the majesty of God's creation.
You know, for his shortcomings, his personal foibilities, if that's a word, it's pretty strong to say every child is made in the image of God. That's the President of the United States saying that. That means something. That's powerful advocacy for him to do this, the first president ever. Every president should be there because it's quite self-evident that a child in the womb is a child and abortion is intentionally ending that life. It is legalized murder of the unborn. It is the American Holocaust. 60 million babies have been aborted in our country. God will have to judge us for this great sin. We talk about the Holocaust and the concentration camps and in Germany, and it was horrific, a blot on history. This is an even bigger blot than that. 60 million babies have been murdered in the womb, and now all the way up to the time of birth, and now after birth, people advocate for that as well. Now, the ERLC, the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention. This is the parachurch organization that's sort of a political advocacy group for the Southern Baptist Convention, led by Russell Moore. One of their research fellows, Thomas Kidd, for the ERLC, Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, tweeted, he also is a professor at Baylor, and he's speaker and author for the Gospel Coalition. That's who Thomas Kidd is. He tweeted out upon seeing President Trump speak at the March for Life. He said this: hopefully it will be good for Trump personally. It isn't good for the pro-life movement to be associated with him, unquote. So just think about that for a second. According to Thomas Kidd of the ERLC and the Gospel Coalition, it's better for babies to keep on getting slaughtered than having a president actually identify and speak for their lives? Is that the conclusion we're to take from that particular comment? Hopefully it'll be good for Trump personally, like he's doing it out of political reasons to shore up the pro-life vote. Maybe he is. I'm sure he's a politician. He probably is. But what he said is advocating for living human beings made in the image of God. It isn't good for the pro-life movement to be associated with him. So apparently it's better that babies keep on getting slaughtered than to be associated with Donald Trump. That is the kind of evangelical mentality that is becoming ever more popular today as leaders like Russell Moore. I'm going to read about what he had to say, the head of the ERLC had to say about what it means to be pro-life. Notice how pro-life is not good enough to be pro-life. To be pro-life is many other things that you have to be if you're going to be pro-life. Notice this is where this will take you if you start appropriating some of these other policy positions he wants you to take. Here's what Russell Moore says. To care about human life doesn't mean that we're necessarily going to agree on what healthcare system model ought to look like, but it does mean that we agree that sick people matter. It doesn't mean that we're necessarily going to agree on what sorts of affirmative action programs we ought to have in our colleges and universities, but it has to mean that we understand and know that Black lives matter. Black people matter. It doesn't necessarily mean that we agree on how many immigrants ought to come into the country every year, but it has to mean that the lives of immigrants and strangers and sojourners matter to God and ought to matter to us. So we can't be the people who say that these people are parasites. We have to say these are people created in the image of God. Now, that's a very, very loaded paragraph that he just made there. In other words, if you care about pro-life, then you need to agree with a healthcare system that sick people matter. Well, I think every Christian cares about a health system that does that. But the health system that he's implying here is one that where the government directs life and death decisions, and they do the redistribution of who gets healthcare and who doesn't. And then he goes into affirmative action programs. That's just an assumption. There just should be affirmative action based on people's skin color. That's not even a question in his mind. That you should divide people according to their skin color. And it doesn't, he talks about immigration, how many immigrants. These are all, of course, Christians are for legal immigration of those who come into the country who want to be Americans and contribute to our society. But of course, Christians should be against the globalistic idea of no boundaries and no borders, where we have this one world nation, so to speak, where the world will end up eventually, according to the Bible, it will end up there. But until that point is God created nations, not global, not, he doesn't want man together. That's what we've learned in the, at the Tower of Babel. And so what a tricky, duplicitous statement on abortion that Russell Moore makes from the ERLC. And Jeff Maples, columnist for that website I mentioned earlier, Reformation Charlotte, writes out Southern Baptist leader Russell Moore laid out a brand new definition of being pro-life to include not only opposing abortion, but supporting such things as affirmative action for black college students, softening border laws, and government-operated healthcare systems. Being pro-life, he says, has nothing at all to do with social justice. It's about ending the slaughter of innocent children in the womb. That's exactly right. That's all it's ever been about. And having the president of the most powerful nation in the world attend the event, despite the fact that he's not truly a Christian, Jeff Maple doesn't believe he's a true born-again Christian, which I tend to agree with, but of course, we don't know Donald Trump's heart. But look, I'm very thankful for the policy positions he takes. Even non-Christians can be advocates for the pro-life cause. Just proves, he writes, that he has a better grasp on general revelation than the vast majority of those who think themselves as leaders of the Church of Jesus Christ. So true. Coming back, we're going to finish the show talking about Kobe Bryant and his tragic death. Much more coming up. Stay tuned here on the Christian Real View. I'm David Wheaton.
There's an abundance of resources available in Christian bookstores and online, but the sad reality is that many of them, even some of the most popular, do not lead to a sound and strong faith. A key aim of the Christian Worldview is to identify and offer resources that are biblically faithful and deepen your walk with God. In our online store, we have a wide range of resources for all ages, adult and children's books and DVDs, Bibles and devotionals, unique gifts, and more. So browse our store at thechristianworldview.org and find enriching resources for yourself, family, friends, small group, or church. You can also order by calling our office toll-free at 1-888-646-2233. That's 1-888-646-2233. Or visit thechristianworldview.org.
That critical race theory and intersectionality are simply analytical tools. They're meant to be used as tools, not as a worldview.
No, it's not true. It's
not a transcendent worldview above the authority of Scripture. And we stand by the strength of this resolution.
Is the Southern Baptist Convention diverging from biblical orthodoxy over issues of women teaching men, homosexuality, and critical race theory? Is this a bellwether of what's coming to your church? By What Standard is a 110-minute DVD documentary about the battle taking place in the SBC. You can receive the DVD for a donation of any amount to The Christian Worldview. To order, go to thechristianworldview.org or call 1-888-646-2233 or write to Box 401, Excelsior, Minnesota 55331.
Final segment of the day here on the Christian Worldview radio program. Remember, you can always hear the program after it airs. It airs at multiple times over the weekend. You can see our full station list and times at our website, thechristianworldview.org. But also, you can hear the program there, too. We post it there usually later in the day. The program airs Saturday mornings live. By the end of the day on Saturday, usually the program is put up there on the website for you to click and play. You can also hear it on oneplace.com. Very popular website to go through. You can podcast it. Just go to iTunes or Google Play, and you can have it come right into your phone. We also produce short takes now, which are highlights, three or four highlights every week of the program if you don't have the time to listen to the full 45, 50-minute podcast. So lots of ways to connect with the Christian Worldview. We'd encourage you to do that. We don't have much time remaining today. We're going to wait for another week to talk about the situation, as I mentioned earlier, down in Australia with the Australian Open. with two tennis greats, John McEnroe, Martina Navratilova, doing an on-court protest, holding up signs to demand the deplatforming, the renaming of a stadium court down there that was named after the greatest tennis champion of all time that you probably haven't heard about because it was in a past era, and she's not very well known, let's say, in America, but she is in other parts of the world named Margaret Court. She won the most major singles of all time, and she believes in a biblical definition of marriage, and that has put her in the crosshairs and of course, those who advocate for homosexuality and transgenderism like Martina Navratilova and John McEnroe and create quite a brouhaha down in Australia. But we don't have time to get in that whole story. There's more to it than just a couple sentences. But I want to close today in talking about another sports story that captured the attention of the entire world, and that was the death of Kobe Bryant and his daughter and seven other people about a week ago in Los Angeles. Now, if you don't know who Kobe Bryant is, he's one of the most accomplished NBA basketball players of all time. He won five NBA titles, I think two Olympic golds. He was considered, you know, maybe the top four or five players in history. He's only 40 years old. And in Los Angeles last weekend, he was riding in a helicopter. That's how he traveled around. I mean, this man is fantastically wealthy, made hundreds of millions of dollars probably in his career. He'd also won an Oscar, by the way, for a short film, animated film that he helped produce on basketball. And ironically, just as an aside here, Glenn Keane, the animator of a lot of the famous Disney animator, who also did the Adam Raccoon books, which we offer. He's a believer. The series that we offer, which is an excellent series that you should get for your kids, was the animator for Kobe Bryant's film that won an Oscar, just as an aside there. Anyway, Kobe Bryant often traveled around Los Angeles. If you've ever been there, you know what the traffic is like. He lived a little south of Los Angeles, and he had a gym, a basketball academy or something up in more of the west or northwest part of Los Angeles. And to get there from where he lived, it'd probably take an hour and a half by driving. So, you know, with his money, he was able to afford being able to helicopter around Los Angeles, whether it was to there or to the Los Angeles Lakers games that he played for many, many years. And so last weekend, they were in a helicopter, he and his daughter, and then seven other people, parents and their own children who are going to be playing in this particular basketball practice or game. Well, they got caught in a fog bank near their destination and crashed into the side of the mountain. This is an incredibly tragic story that made world headlines all over the place when someone as significant as Kobe Bryant, in the middle of his life, young man, 40 years old, dies along with eight other people, including his daughter. And so there are many, many things to take away from this story, but I just want to point out three here to close the program. First of all, this is a horrible tragedy. Kids, children lost their fathers and their mothers. Kobe had three other kids. There was a mother, the coach of the team was on the flight. None of her kids or her husband weren't. Her husband was quoted as saying, "The hardest thing for me now is just, how do I do this? How do I go forward without my children's mother?" I mean, you can just imagine, you know, what that would be like. Mothers lost their children in this thing. Nine people unexpectedly died. The families of those who are dealing with this complete grief and shock in their life need to be prayed for. They need to be prayed for that they would come to understand who God is, and that death happens to all of us, and that there's an urgency, there's a call, there's a command to get right with God before that happens. There's no answer to why this happened. We don't know why God allowed this to happen. Remember, God either causes or allows everything to happen. He's in control of this universe. He could have stopped that plane, that helicopter from crashing, but for some reason he chose not to. We don't know why. I'm gonna give the reason that Jesus answers why in a second here, but we just don't know that answer why, and we may never know that answer why. Number two thing to take away is we don't know, you don't know when you are going to die. But you will die, and I will die at some point. It is appointed unto a man once to die, the Bible says. And the Bible says that you will either go to heaven or hell. There's the binary system that Aaron Rodgers was talking about. You'll go there. One of those two places based on how you answer one question. Did you receive or did you reject the person and work of Jesus Christ on your behalf? In other words, did you put your faith in what Jesus did for you on the cross? that he pay the penalty you deserve to pay for your sin? Are you trusting only and wholly in that, nothing of your own, to be right with God in his work, not your own works? Or have you rejected that and said, no, I have another path. I have a spiritual path, as Aaron Rodgers was saying in that opening interview of the day. That's the fact. We're all going to die, and we're going to stand before God in judgment, the Bible says, and we're going to be sentenced to heaven or hell. We're either going to pay the penalty for our own sins for us, or we're going to have faith that Jesus paid them for us on our behalf. That's really the bottom line here. So it's not that Kobe Bryant died at age 40. We're all going to die. We're all in the process of dying right now. We just don't know when. The last thing is this. Death is the great equalizer. You know, the rich and the famous, like Kobe Bryant, and the unknown of those to other people who are on the helicopter, they take nothing to the grave. Bryant's multi-millions of dollars and fame could do nothing to keep him from dying at a time that he didn't expect. In other words, you can amass all this fame and fortune in life, but you just die like everyone else. And what does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? Jesus asked that question. And the answer is there's nothing. There's nothing you can do or gain, or it doesn't profit you anything to gain the whole world if you lose your soul. I don't know what Kobe Bryant, what his beliefs were. I never met the man. I don't know what his heart was the day before the crash, whether he had come to saving faith or the last day of his life. I do not know. But the call is for the rest of us who are still living, who are still breathing, who still have this opportunity to get right with God, to do it. Now to the why question. When there were some tragedies in Israel, just like this was a tragedy, Jesus was asked basically the question, why did God allow this? And Jesus said to them, do you suppose that these Galileans who all died were greater sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered this fate? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. His answer is, look, we're all going to die. We don't know when. The call is to repent and believe in the gospel. If you've never done that, do it today. Go to How to Be Right with God on our website, thechristianworldview.org, if you'd like to find out more about that. It's one of the most popular pages on the website because it answers the most important question about how we can be made right with a holy God. Until next weekend, everyone, think biblically and live accordingly.
We hope today's broadcast turned your heart toward God, His Word, and His Son. To order a CD copy of today's program, or sign up for our free weekly email, or to find out how you can be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, go to our website, thechristianworldview.org, or call us toll-free at 1-888-646-2233. The Christian Worldview is a weekly one-hour radio program that is furnished by the Overcomer Foundation and is supported by listeners and sponsors. Request one of our current resources with your donation of any amount. Go to thechristianworldview.org or call us toll-free at 1-888-646-2233 or write to us at Box 401, Excelsior, Minnesota, 55331. That's Box 401, Excelsior, Minnesota, 55331. Thanks for listening to The Christian Worldview. Until next time, think biblically and live accordingly.